Okay, and the meeting is called to order at 8:04. Roll call. Kim Laird, Chair, is present. Kevin Axtell.
Present.
Richard Kennison.
Present.
Kevin McBeth.
Present.
Aaron Stevens.
Present.
Tom Wall.
Present.
And Matt Hall had said that he would be absent this evening. Brandy Axtell, I have to change that on there. Recording secretary, you are here?
Yes.
Yay. And Sandy Brown is also present. Is there anyone present that I did not mention?
Martin Frost.
Hi, Martin. I didn't hear you come on.
Hey, Martin.
Hey.
Okie doke. First thing after that is approval of tonight's agenda. Do we have a motion for tonight's agenda, please?
I'll move to approve the agenda for tonight. Kevin, A.
I second that motion.
Very Aaron. Good. Are there any corrections that you may have seen, additions that you may want to add at this point? I did make the correction to the motion that Sandy has asked us to bring up. So I've done that on my copy. Brandy, I did send a copy to you as well, just to make sure you had that.
Yeah, I got it.
Okie doke. Anything else that needs correcting or additions? All right. Then we'll move on to the vote. Anyone opposed to the approval of tonight's agenda? Any abstentions? The board agenda for tonight is approved. We have the approval of the minutes from September 15th. Can I have someone move to approve those minutes, please?
I'll move to approve the minutes, Kevin A. We got them in late, but we got them in, and I got to see them. So.
Yep. I'm sorry they were late, but Brandy was a little occupied.
She was
and
just
rightfully
getting
so. And we need a second, please.
Second.
Okay. I know it was late, but did anyone see any corrections or things that may have been missed in those minutes? Hearing nothing, we'll go to the vote. Anyone opposed to the approval of the minutes? Any abstentions?
I'm going to abstain because I haven't reviewed them yet.
So. Okay.
Kevin McBeth.
So Kevin McBeth abstains. Which means we have a majority approving, and the minutes are approved. On to reports. A wrap-up to the 2010 fest yet. What I had mailed to everyone in the original agenda is a little outdated already. There were some questions about download times, if we went to the downloads and whatnot. The latest information as of 2 hours ago, Ivan Pacell and David Landown were on Skype for about 45 minutes earlier today. Ivan has spent the last few days trying different compression techniques, lowering the size and quality without the viewer really noticing a difference in quality, formats where it would not be a download but rather a direct DVD burn from the internet. Jay Coe has also offered some ideas. And I spoke with Ivan on the phone just a couple hours ago. We're both in agreement that none of us realized how large the download size would be until he's now finished with the DVD. It is about a three-hour long DVD. Even chopping it up into sections is not going to be feasible at this point. Prior to the most recent discussion on the topic, like when we talked about this even before the fest, the only real concern that anyone voiced was that of pirating. But now it seems like our bigger obstacle is the time it will take buyers to actually download the fest footage. It took Ivan today 2 minutes, or 2 minutes of footage took Ivan about 12 minutes, 12 to 14 minutes to download. And to us, that's just not acceptable, especially when you're talking a three-hour DVD. So I have emailed Jay Coe, who during the fest shared with Ivan and myself that he has the equipment to copy DVDs. I am not sure whether it's a multiple burner or whether it is the actual replicator, so I'm checking with him on that. I've asked him what he would charge the IJA if he were to duplicate discs for us, the FEST DVDs. If he is not interested or does not have the time, we can always work with disc makers again, which we worked with last year, and they did a very, very nice job at a very reasonable price, and they have a very quick turnaround time. Or Kevin Axtell, you also told us last year about another DVD replication company. Do you remember what the name of that was?
Absolutely. We still use them. It's Kunaki.com, K-U-N-A-K-I. You upload, and obviously it'll be a really big upload, but it just happens once. And then you upload everything, the front, the back. You get a one-panel insert, and it's $1.75 a DVD flat, like no matter what.
Okay, I'll look more into them and compare them to disc makers. Does Kunaki.com have a minimum that you have to order from them?
No, they do not. It doesn't matter if it's two DVDs or 500.
Okay, great. That's the way disc makers is too. So I'll just compare them. They sound like they're pretty comparable, but
great.
We'll just get down to the nitty-gritty numbers.
I will mention Kunaki is known for good shipping. We've always had... They handle the shipping. They take care of it. I'm sure disc makers, too, but they've always been really reliable. So we would endorse them if that's the case.
Cool. Yeah. Disc makers does do mailing if you want them to. Last year, I opted not to because they're only about an hour to an hour and a half away from me. So I, to save on them shipping it to me or shipping out and shipping to the store, I went and picked everything up and shipped them from my house. Which saved us some money, but, you know, we'll check into that. As of right now, the footage is all edited, and Ivan has told me it's ready to be sent to me for proofing and approval. Once that's done, we are ready to go to replication. And if the rest of the board members all agree that we should just kind of forego the download idea this year and just stick with hard copies, we can have all of this replicated and ready for mailing prior to the Thanksgiving holiday. No doubt about that, probably well before Thanksgiving. So that's my report. I just need to know what all of you think. Should we just go to in-hand DVDs again?
I would lean towards that option, yeah. Especially, we don't want to end up in January, February, still not knowing what we're doing. The only thing I seem to remember something about working with Ivan on that he in the original DVD plan, he would be selling them, or somehow he would be in charge of the distribution. Would we just, I assume, forego that?
He did offer that in the past, and honestly, I did not bring that up with him recently, but. I can talk with him about that and see if that's something he's still interested in doing.
Well, it sounds like that might be more complicated. Since we have a pre-walk set trail that we know, maybe indeed we should go. Now, we didn't sell any pre-DVDs this year. Did we have any pre-sales?
No, not at all. It wasn't part of the FEST package at all.
So they'll be buying it, right? That's the.
I'm sorry, what was that?
It didn't come with the FEST package at all. Each person would be buying it, correct?
That's correct, yeah. Even when it used to be on the FEST registration form, it was a separate a la carte item.
Okay.
That they would have to buy. So the only difference here is we did not take early pre-orders during the FEST. If we want to go to an in-hand DVD and we say tonight that's definitely what we're doing, which is what I'm leaning toward now because Ivan and David Landown have exhausted pretty much every avenue that they can think of at this point to try and make this work. And it's just not – the IJA and technology are just not on the same page quite yet to do that.
Hey, Kim?
Yeah.
As the person who's probably going to be shipping these, I'm fine with it.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Kevin, this really – comes down to what Kevin thinks about it, because I will say that having done it for a number of years, you will get a lot of people who, for whatever reasons, haven't received theirs, and that means a lot of trips to the PO or whatever. I mean, there could be 20, 30, 40 people who separately are, we need to have those DVDs mailed out to them.
Well, not only that, it sounds like we're going to be mailing every single one of them ourselves and not have the manufacturer of the DVDs mail them. So there could be a few hundred. Probably we won't sell more than a couple hundred.
We could work either way. I forget the number that we sold last year, but I stuck every DVD in an envelope. I addressed every envelope. I did that last year. It took about, now granted there were two of us doing it, but it took about a weekend to do, and there were four people who had ordered DVDs that said they didn't get them, that we had to mail replacements out.
I would strongly suggest that we have whoever's going to be making these DVDs, producing them to, or duplicating them, to send them out, because that is not a good situation for one person to do, and I'm the other fallback person, and I have just too much on my plate right now to send any out. So I strongly recommend that we have the duplication company do it.
I think that's a good idea. The only issue is we haven't sold any yet. If they were to duplicate them tomorrow and be ready, there would be no buyers. So there would be no addresses to mail them to. So if we're going to do this, we should, basically immediately start put up a sales, item on the store and start selling them. And maybe in 2-3 weeks, we ship out whatever we sold. We have the distributor, the manufacturer, as it were, to ship those.
And
who's got the cover art for the DVD?
Well, I have what was used for the booklet cover. Last year, I actually worked with the artist who did the Winston-Salem design. I actually worked with that artist, and he actually did it. So actually with the Pages program, it's really nothing to do that insert.
So do we have cover art ready for this year's DVD?
We have the basic cover art. We just have to have the text.
Okay, as soon as I get that, then I can add it to the store.
Sure. I can send you that rather quickly. And, gang, I don't know about Kunaki, so Kevin, maybe you can enlighten us on that, but I know with disc makers, it's a 48-hour turnaround time after they get the digital information as well as the cover art.
Kim, you said that there's no minimum order. Is that right?
That's correct.
Disc makers. In that case, I would say, let's make a smallish order because we don't know how many we're going to sell. In the past years, we've known we had so many, 100 or 150 or however many pre-sold. So, and this year, because we don't have those, we're going to have fewer sales altogether.
Well,
Marilyn Sullivan.
I would pay
everyone.
Hey, Marilyn. I would personally not even make the order until we have at least some orders coming in. So if we can set up the store by this weekend, and I'm sure that Don is going to be getting out an e-newsletter within the next week or so, get it up, on different forums that it's in the store, it's ready to sell. But let them know it's pre-order.
Yeah, we can. I can send out an email. We're not going to be sending out the next e-newsletter for at least 2 weeks, for about 2 weeks.
Okay.
So we could send out a special email saying we've decided not to go with downloads but with DVDs, and so you can now pre-order the DVD, and it should be ready and for shipping in 3 weeks or something.
That would be perfect. And we can have all that set and ready to roll by this weekend, I'm sure.
And this is Kevin. Kevin A. Once again.
Sorry, Kim.
Sure, Kevin A. Go ahead.
Kim.
Yes.
Can you run the cover art by me first, please?
Yeah. And
yes.
Regarding that cover art, Kim, we'll make sure that if this is the same person that did 2007, 2008, don't make them anywhere similar to 2000 and 2008. The 2007 and the 2008 DVD covers are exactly the same, except they're slightly different colors, and it's really hard to distinguish. So make sure that, you know, in these 2 years, they're the perimeter of them are like little film strips with clips of different jugglers, but one's pink and one's blue, and they're really hard to distinguish, so they need to be totally different.
Yeah, actually, last year when I worked with the artist on last year's cover art for 2009,
yeah.
And I actually did the text on that one. He did
okay.
not. I added the text to it. I went back through all of my old DVDs from the IJA, and
okay.
I took notice to that right away, and
right,
I actually
right.
pulled from, like, early 2001, 2002, and went more old
Excellent.
A little bit. So,
okay,
yeah,
perfect.
It'll look totally different. Last year's was red. This year will be black.
Right. Thanks.
All righty. Kevin Axtell. I know.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I do think after hearing some of the concerns that we should take a serious look at Kunaki, whenever we miss an order, we can order just one and have it shipped anywhere from them. There's no minimum order. I just heard a lot of the concerns is something that that particular company does address. So just another push for that company.
That's perfect, because I know that Disc Makers does. I mean, we can order one, but it's much more expensive to do that from them. So
not the case with Kunaki. You have one, no extra charge on the shipping. You can order five. You can order 500.
Okay. Very cool. I will look into them first thing tomorrow. All right, so we're all on board that we're just going to have them replicate it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All righty. That's it for that report. Are there any questions?
Do you want to take a vote on that to make it legal?
Yeah, it seems like...
I'm sorry, what was that?
I suggest a vote, a motion to make that formal to go with DVDs.
Okay. Do we have some should we do that now, Martin, or should we wait until the motion section of the meeting?
Either way, I don't know.
Okay. Does someone want to make the motion that we are doing replicated DVDs rather than downloads for 2010?
I'll make the motion that we will replicate DVDs for 2010.
Okay. Second.
And, okay. And any other discussion? If not, we'll go to the vote. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. And Brandy, you'll just have to make sure to put that in the motion section.
Got it.
Thank you. Okay, Mike sent in his 2011 Fest report.
Mike's here now.
Mike's here now. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Kim.
Go ahead. The floor is yours.
Well, nothing other than what was in my report. I'll be happy to take any questions.
Looking good.
Yeah, thanks. Getting a lot of help, and everything seems to be coming together.
I'd love to see a good female juggler in the lineup.
We have a couple that we're trying to get. That'll remain unnamed right now, but we do have a couple on the line.
Awesome. Good to hear.
Cool.
Great job. Great job, Mike. Great job. Looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a good one. Okay, thanks. That's all I've got.
All righty. Thank you. And, Mike, the future festivals?
Okay. This was discussed lightly on the board forum and by email about a month and a half ago. And based on what some people posted on there, it sounds like we should at least discuss having the alternative of other sites for 2013 and beyond, because people think we'll begin to get a lot of pushback by deciding to return to Winston-Salem a third and then fourth time. And same thing for Rochester. So if we're going to do that, now is the time to start, so that we have until next June or July to decide on 2013 at least. We expect Rochester will work out fine, and they are very eager to give us a very strong proposal for 2013, but we are under no obligation right now to anyone for 2013. It would give us a stronger negotiating position if we had other potential cities for 2013 and beyond, and it would also give our members and the board opportunity to explore other venues rather than returning to Rochester and Winston-Salem. So all I'm asking for is some kind of consensus one way or the other, so I can either start on these other cities or maintain status quo, which is that we'll return to Winston-Salem and Rochester for the foreseeable future.
Mike, tell me what you think about this if it seems too late, but it seems a little bit like we should get a sense of the success. I predict a very successful people in Rochester, but maybe once we see that or whatever the end result is, we might be more influenced on our decision. Just a thought.
Yes, I agree, Kevin. And, you know, if we were to look at potential cities now, we could ask them to propose to us for 2013, 2014, 2015. And then that way we're not committed to anyone until after the 2011 festival next July. If we think Rochester worked out great for us, we can immediately sign up for 2013, or we can sign up with them for 2014. Mm-hmm. Or pick another city. In other words, it just gives us a lot of flexibility if we have these other cities in our back pocket when the time comes to sign on the line for 2013 next July.
I think that makes perfect sense, Mike, to look ahead like that and see what these other places have to offer us and see if they give us a better deal. I would personally say go for it. Go ahead and see who is interested for 2013. Like you said, if they submit, they submit for a few years. Did I understand you correctly?
Yeah, I'm sure all of them would be happy. We're far enough out that they could give us dates for all of those out years at this time. And, you know, then we have the luxury of choosing among several cities when the time comes, instead of saying, well, we've either got Rochester or nobody when next July rolls around.
That would be a nice luxury to have.
I think that the biggest issue is going back to Winston-Salem for a third time, and even worse, a fourth time, in a very short period of time. We haven't gone to Rochester yet, so it's hard to say what it's going to be like. But even if it's a perfect place for a festival, still people generally don't want to go back every year to the same place, or, you know, every couple of years even. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't go back there, but if we can face it every 3 years instead of every 2 years to Rochester and do something else instead of going back to Winston-Salem, at least delay a return to Winston-Salem for another year or two past what we would have done.
I agree, Martin. This is Sandy. Yeah.
Yeah, Martin, I also agree with you, and I'm only 8 hours away from Winston-Salem. I love the site. I love the people there. Not sure if I'm ready to go back, you know, 3-4 years every couple
right.
of years. So, yeah, I'm, like I said,
well,
I'm all for going ahead.
I agree to all of that, too. However, as you know, we are committed at this point for Winston-Salem for 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll then have been 2 years intervening between when we were there in 2010 and 2012. So that's a two-year gap. We were in Sparks, we were in Rochester, and then back to Winston-Salem. So that's a three-year gap right there, which is what a lot of people think we ought to move to.
Right.
So, Mike, you're looking for consensus to seek out other bids. Is that correct?
But just to give me direction, if that's what you want to do, I'm happy to do it, and now is the time to do it. Other than, you know, I just wanted to hear that everyone has agreed that that's a good plan and that we should pursue that now.
Agreed.
A great plan.
Yeah.
Agreed. Okay. And I sent along a short list of the many cities that are bidding for us. If any of you have any preferences or know of any others, I'd be happy to hear from you on that as well. But otherwise, I'll just start contacting all of these guys and saying that the bidding is open and see what they want to do.
Sounds good. just one thing I could do without Davenport again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of agree there. I think that I wasn't in Lexington. I heard it was a great facility, but it cost us a lot of money, so they'll probably not get a strong invitation. Many of the other cities have their various problems that we'll find as we talk to them. So, you know, there's never going to be a perfect city, but some are better than others.
Yeah, Lexington not only cost us a lot of money, but it was also an extremely long walk from the gym area to the workshop rooms.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I would love to look into the Bowling Green State University.
Mm-hmm.
Since we've had so many people express interest in getting back to the college campuses.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Jeff Peden, when I was up at the RIT Fest, was very interested in talking with me about why their bid wasn't accepted for, I forget what year it was that they had put in for.
Rochester, New York?
Yeah. And they had not, I did not have a chance to sit down with him. He was all over the place. They may be interested as well in putting in another bid.
Yeah, they have a new facility too, I think, for a theater, Kim.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous.
I've heard it's great.
Yeah.
That was on our IT campus, Kim?
Yes. And they
when Rochester proposed to us, they proposed the convention center, not RIT.
Well, that may have been their mistake, because the college campus is absolutely wonderful. Beautiful new theater in it, two hotels flanking each side of the campus.
Well, I'll follow up with Jeff and see if there's somebody at RIT who can talk to us, because the Convention and Visitors Bureau never contemplated us using RIT.
Okay.
I'd like to advocate somewhere in the Northeast, if possible, because we just haven't been there other than Buffalo in a long time. And that's where the heaviest density of jugglers, of people is, and of jugglers. So of the list of places you proposed or said you were looking, you had options on.
Yeah.
Buffalo was the only one in that whole area.
Yeah.
You know, something at, you know, Amherst or Boston or even, you know, Vermont, something up there. I mean, I don't want to go to New York, and that's probably too expensive. But I mean, New York City. But somewhere in that corner of the country where there's a lot more jugglers, will attract more jugglers to the convention.
There was a culinary school in Vermont who had contacted the board several years ago, and I passed them on to Todd Strong. I'll see if I can find their information again and pass that on to you, Mike, because they were offering meals and all. And meals at a culinary school, how much better can you get? And this, I may be suggesting this only because it's near and dear to my heart, but here in the Poconos, I did not realize the little jewel that we have in my backyard, Split Rock Lodge, which is a beautiful lodge on a huge lake. They have an incredible convention center within their lodging facility that I never knew existed. It is as big as rows A and B that we had this past year, if not bigger. They hold RV shows in it, and they have housing there, condominiums as well as hotel rooms, and they're a 20-minute drive from the nearest airport and have shuttle service to their free shuttle service.
Send me some info on that, Kim, and I'll follow up with them.
I will. Okay, is there anything else on the future festivals? Hearing nothing, we'll move on to financial. Kevin,
hey,
anything?
Guys. My voice is shot from being sick all week, so I'm just going to send an email on both of these.
Okay. All right, on financial in store.
Kevin, can you make sure Randy got a copy?
What was that?
Could you make sure either to send Randy a copy or that I get one and I'll forward it?
Yeah, we'll do.
Okay, moving on to membership then, Marilyn.
I don't really have anything to add beyond my report. I did do some researching on guidelines for mailing internationally to try and figure out why our European members don't seem to be getting their magazines. And the biggest thing was that they wanted everything in caps. So I've put some things into FileMaker database to force the country and the city to be in capitals, see if that makes a difference.
Okay. Thank you for keeping on top of that.
Yeah, it occurred to me, it's like, why international is not getting their magazines? There's got to be a reason.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Okay, well, just let us know what happens with that if magazines get through.
Marilyn, is it just the same one or two addresses that always fail?
Seems to be, yes. The Carter Library and Prenex, I forgot what it's called, but yeah.
Right,
so,
yeah.
I just
the issues with their particular addresses or somehow, I mean, sending magazines there.
Yeah. I think someone's walking off with them personally, but I don't know.
Could be.
Hey, Tim?
They're a postman, a juggler.
Tim, this is Sandy. Can you hear me?
Hello. Yep.
Hey, yeah, can you hear me? Okay. I'm sorry. I wasn't sure you could hear me. This was actually about financial. Back with Kevin. I think I kind of blanked out on for a minute, few minutes, and no one could hear me. I do have a question regarding financial. It's true that in 18 days, Holly's contract is up, but she indicated to me 2 days ago that she never actually signed a contract for the past year. It was one a contract was not sent to her. So I think the board needs to address whether or not they want Holly to continue her role because at the end of October, her contract is finished.
Right, and I was actually going to bring that up a little later in the meeting.
Oh, okay. Okay, thanks.
Because I also wanted to talk with Holly. Her not actually signing a contract for this past year was my fault. I could not find the copy that Chuck had made up, and Chuck never sent me a copy when I emailed him, so that was my fault. I should have been right on top of that, and I wasn't. But she, you know, if she stays on, if we keep her in the position and she wants to stay there, she will have a written copy this time.
Okay, excellent. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, so any other questions? Membership, financial? Okay, if not, Kevin or Aaron, anything on the educational front, or is that quiet?
Yep, is going wonderfully. Kevin just came to one of my YEP programs today and got to help instruct, which was lovely. I think we have four programs, one in Iowa, two in Colorado, and one in Pennsylvania. Wait.
Yep, Pocono Pie. Strong. We got about 15 kids.
Yeah, 15 kids, awesome. And we just got in the Durango pod, we just got the front page of the newspaper with our YEP kids. They got some publicity. It was pretty cool. So, yeah, it's going really well. We have a Kim, Kevin, and I have a consultation tomorrow with a nonprofit consultant to discuss mission statements, goals and objectives, role development and such, so that should be a really productive meeting.
And I'm looking at that meeting not only being productive for YEP, but also for the IJA in general, because they're all things that we all need.
First she said, you know, I'm a consultant. I can help out anyway with this new IJA thing you're doing. And I said, well, let's start with YEP. But she really knows her stuff, so I'm excited to see what comes out of that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay, any questions about education? All righty, hearing nothing. Tom, are you here yet?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, anything with marketing, promotions?
Not really. I've been talking to the vendors for the whole vendor discount thing. We're going to have sounds like a lot of people are going to be doing the Black Friday sale again. So I'm still going to hear back from a couple of people, but I should have a write-up for that for the e-newsletter this time around.
Okay.
Other than that, I'm just trying to, if anybody has any ideas how to make the this year's YouTube thing, the YouTube tutorial thing, just next year, rather, not this year. Any bigger, any better, let me know. Matt and I guess we're going to talk about that in Durango at some point. But yeah, no, just let me know. And that's all I have.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Tom. Any questions for Tom? Hearing none, we'll move on to motions for consideration. There's only one motion that we had on the agenda for tonight. Motion to change the final paragraph of Article 2, Item 4 of the IJA bylaws by replacing the text, quote, an expelled member shall have the opportunity to reapply for membership after one calendar year has passed from the original date of expulsion. The Board of Directors will at that time determine by majority vote whether to readmit the expelled
member. Mike Sullivan.
End quote. With the text, quote, an expelled person shall have the opportunity to reapply for membership. Does anyone need me to read the whole thing? I'm assuming you all have it.
We have it.
Okay, then I'm not going to read the whole thing. Do we have someone to make that motion so that we can at least enter discussion?
I'll make that motion, Kevin A.
Do we have a second, please?
I'll second. This is Tom.
Okay. And discussion.
This is Kevin A. The reason I think, or I feel that I will be voting for it, even though I have a few small concerns, is really that I think it will allow for future incoming board members to not be harassed or distressed from any given expelled member, regardless. Years down the line, having experienced it myself, coming right into strife, it was discouraging. I know that some of the newer board members also had that similar discouragement at the start of their terms. And so that's my inclination to vote for it personally.
I also agree with you, Kevin. I think this just makes things a lot more clear. And I think that was our problem at the beginning of even this year or last year, was this was such written, the original part of the bylaws written so ambiguously, and we've had official people, we've had parliamentarians, not just one, but several, tell us about how ambiguous this has been. So I think this new wording will get rid of that ambiguity and make it very clear for former or future board members.
I'm assuming it's not retroactive.
This is Sandy. Actually, I sent an email out yesterday, and yes, it is. So regarding the current person who is expelled, Dave Davis's request to reapply to the IJA was not accepted in July of this year. So he will be entered. He will be grandfathered into the new bylaws, which means the next time that he can apply for application will be August 2012 instead of August 2011. But yes, indeed, he will be given an opportunity not next year, but the year after to apply.
All right.
This is Tom. While I'm in favor with, pretty much everything that's written in this, everything that you've called this, Andy, I personally don't think that this should be retroactive, mostly because we've been operating, I guess, under the premise, this has come up over the, I guess, whenever it was, the July meeting, about whether or not an individual, or I guess this particular individual would be allowed to reapply next year, because that's what we said during the board meeting at the IJA Festival. I thought we'd come to the agreement that, or at least to the understanding that he would be able to reapply in the next year. And I feel like going and making, you know, should this proposal be amended, I feel like it would be us going back on our word in a lot of ways, and that could foster some ill will. I'm in favor of the proposed amendment, but I do feel that we should still stay true to what we've been talking about in the past.
Let me comment on that a little bit. first of all, there's no retroactivity involved here. It doesn't say anything about when a person was expelled. It says an expelled person shall have these opportunities. And that applies to any expelled person in the past or the future. It's just any person who is currently an expelled person. So there's no, it's not an ex post facto law, as it were. I mean, it's not a law, but it's a bylaw. In addition to that, it's a change to the bylaws. And certainly, if you don't change the bylaws, then the existing bylaws would stay in effect. But and if you think that some existing situation that was present, let's say this summer, should be permanently there, then don't change the bylaws. If you change the bylaws, it's perfectly reasonable to expect those expectations from this summer's interpretation of the bylaws to change, because you're, in fact, changing the bylaws. That's the whole point of changing the bylaws.
Got
it. I would agree with that. I mean, there's a reason why we don't want to have to engage in this every single year. Next year, the entire same situation could result again, and that there will be a considerable amount of time to educate the new board members on all of the evidence that has occurred, et cetera. So the reason is that you want to improve on this situation, and as I mentioned in my email that I sent out, I think it was yesterday, that the understanding is that, and I talked to the attorney about this, that indeed you want this to happen now. If this is voted on, you want it to happen now. You don't want exceptions, and the exception would be the person who is currently expelled. You want it to occur now, and that makes, unfortunately, you know, we have a changing board every year. Next year, there are only 3 people that will be coming on that is new. But for those of us who, you know, are, you know, sit in on board meetings year after year, there's a lot of catching up to do. And it certainly does, it's a demand on our resources to constantly present this case. So I would agree with Martin.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
Does anyone see any major backlash or a legal difficulty? I'm really for it. Make sure you're not jumping.
Well, Sandy did check with Scott Shannon, the lawyer who has been working with the IJA throughout all of this. She also did consult, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sandy, with Dr. Young.
Yes, I checked with Dr. Young, and he was highly in approval of the current motion. And I do want to tell you that I talked to the D&O insurance. Of course, unfortunately, it does come down to a significant portion of this comes down to our D&O insurance. And our D&O insurance did say that he would highly recommend that this motion take place because, for example, once a party sues and loses, there is a strong likelihood that a second suit will follow. People who sue do learn from their previous mistakes, and they refile a new lawsuit. And also, he did say, and I quote, "We cannot predict that your D&O carrier would or would not do. However, it would be our recommendation that we do not accept another membership from an individual due to the increase in moral hazard." And so I do want to let you know that it is a good thing probably to reassess over a period of time and to give this another, give somebody who has not been accepted their membership another 2 years. Our D&O insurance, unfortunately, is dictating. I'm sorry, I have to take something out of the oven right now. That's why I'm stammering. My chicken is ready. Hold on.
She
feed my husband as we speak. So that's how I feel about this, folks.
Yeah.
Richard Kennison, can we hear from you? What are your thoughts?
Yeah,
Richard.
Yeah, I think the motion is very fair and clear. I was under the assumption that it actually would be, retroactive is the word. I mean, that it would apply to Dave, to be quite specific. And the whole idea there is to simply avoid, like Kevin said, this happening again next year. So it's just a question of how that will play out, but I'm definitely for the motion itself.
And I would say if anybody is not for it, I am definitely open to other suggestions. But if the vote can happen now, we do have a quorum? Is that, we have the majority of board members present. If people do, if there are, how many do we have present? Six?
Yes.
Okay. If there are two of you who feel like you would not support this, let's go back to the table, but let's not drag this out forever. I feel like this is probably an extremely fair and legally sound motion. And but if you think not, I'm here to just I wrote this motion to that I hope that we would have a success with it, but you know, if there's anything else or suggestions you can make. But I feel as though going back to a year-to-year vote is really just presenting the new board with an entire potentially just time-consuming situation.
I would agree with the time-consuming. I think that's something that's big to look at. It's just the energy needs to be going, and that's one thing that's really great about this. I was concerned that there wasn't more discussion, and I know a large part of that was because people have been incredibly busy. Super thankful, Sandy, for all the work you've put into it, and sorry we weren't more receptive to that. I know all of us have been a little bit in chaos lately. But and that was one thing I was interested in, was just seeing, you know, what potential other options there could be. But the year is going to two and then to four years. Just seems time wise, energy wise, that it could have a lot of benefits. So.
Okay. Is there any other discussion? Does anyone see a need to change things in here? You want to make modifications, or are you ready to vote?
Looks like we're ready.
Okay, then we'll go to a vote. Is there anyone opposed to the change? I'm sorry. Is there anyone opposed to the motion to change the final paragraph of Article 2, Item 4 of the IJA bylaws as is spelled out in this motion? Is there any abstention?
I am going to abstain, Aaron.
Aaron, you're abstaining?
Okay.
Okay, and that means the majority is in the affirmative, so this motion passes.
Just to be clear, it takes a two-thirds majority, not just a majority, but you do have that.
Okay, I was going to say we should have had that. Thank you.
You have five votes in favor and one abstention and one absent.
Right. Okay, so we do have the two-thirds majority we need to amend the bylaws as written.
And this is Sandy. I want to make sure that I would leave this up to the board per your recommendation on what you feel is the appropriate way to respond to the current expelled members, if they need to be notified on this, et cetera. So I don't feel as though that's not my business, but that may be the board's business to conduct.
And the rest of us can talk about that.
Okay.
Online or through email through the forum. Okay, and we can see what path we're going to take there. Okay.
Sure. Thank you.
Does anyone have anything for Varia tonight?
This is Richard. I do.
Sure, Richard. Go ahead.
I did speak with the Guinness Book World Records editor today. And I mentioned this at the festival, and I need to talk to Mike about this. I have this idea that the IJA as a whole sets a world record in Rochester for the most objects made at one time. And what I like about that idea is I think it can help build attendance by saying you might not be a competitor, you might not be a performer, but we need every person to come onto this field and stand there and juggle these objects so we can get this world record. So they're interested in that, and we're going to have further discussions about that.
Love it.
Cool.
That sounds awesome. Actually, I have to call them as well. They asked me that as chairman of the board of directors of the IJA to be an officiator.
Yeah, they asked me that also.
Okay, yeah. So there may be a few of us that are actually verifying the records. So
as a current world record holder in this category from the EJC at Edinburgh, which did have a certified Guinness record, I'm not sure what the total number was, but it was quite high.
Right.
They did it basically at a show, and they had a lot of people there. So
right.
I think it was well over 500 people, maybe 1,000. I don't remember the number.
Yeah, I think it was somewhere in 560 land or something. I think we could beat it is what I think. But it all depends on attendance and how many objects each individual is actually juggling. We would have to actually certify each person as they stood there on the number of objects they're juggling. But I think we have a lot of, fireball jugglers across the board, and I think we can put up a big number. So it's something to talk to them about and research, of course, but I think it's a cool idea.
Okay.
That sounds awesome. Cool. Anything else for Varia this evening?
Come to the Durango Juggling Festival.
Come to the St. Louis Festival.
Yeah, come to St. Louis, guys.
Both. Come to both.
Okay, fine.
Okay, I need to learn how to fly a plane.
Sam, I have my pilot's license, so I can be your pilot instructor.
That's cool. All right.
Me too.
The problem is affording a plane, then.
Well, I only do single engines.
That's fine. Okay, if we have nothing else to discuss, we're on to the next meeting.
Just a final thing, I wanted to thank Sandy for her work in putting together the motion and making sure it was sound and a good motion. So thank you.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you, Sandy.
Oh, Sandy. Thank you, thank you.
No, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of you so much. I really do. Thanks a lot.
All right, third Wednesday in November is the 17th. That bad for anyone?
One second. I think we might be in Texas.
Okay.
Is that bad?
Be good.
Yep, we're in Texas.
Can we do the 10th or the 24th? We're on active duty at a event on the 17th.
Well, the 24th is the night before Thanksgiving.
Huh.
Yep.
And I will be up to my shoulders baking pies and stuff.
And
the 10th would be good.
Okay.
If anyone opposed to the 10th?
There's a chance that I'll be in Canada and possibly unable to make it, but I ought to be able to, so don't mind me.
Okay. All right. Just let us kind of know if you can, and if you're not here, we know where you are.
Yep. Sure thing.
Okay. So November 10th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time is the next meeting. And now we need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second, please.
Yeah. Second, Tom.
Good job.
And is anyone opposed to adjourning? Any abstentions? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned at 8:58 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.